All righty. All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of February 28th, 2001. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Fraker.
Here.
Mr. Rainbird.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
Okay, we're all here. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Moving on to the agenda. Did you have any addendums? I'm going to add one item before we adjourn. It was in Larry's notes, but I want to make sure it was an agenda item. It's just we're going to kind of go over those superintendent goals,
okay.
The goals documents that he sent to us. So I'm going to insert that as a 20 and a half, 20.5.
Scratch the high point report. I didn't think about it. It's about a half.
Okay. So take the high point report off of 5.2. Other than that, were there any other changes, additions, deletions, whatnot? No?
We were going to talk about the meeting at Mill Valley or something.
Yeah, that's going to be part of the, since that's part of the communication plan, I thought we would touch on that when we went over that. That's all right?
Yeah.
I just figured that would kind of fit right in.
Yeah.
Okay. If not, I need a motion to accept the agenda with those changes then, please.
So
moved. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
No.
Don't bite
yes.
My thought right before I motion. Or yeah, yes.
Yeah.
He meant to say yes.
You got a yes from you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, the motion carries. Not very easily, but it carries nonetheless. Can you... Oh, are they eating back over there?
I'm sorry.
Do you close the door?
Yes.
Yeah, that's as long as we have a couple.
Okay, all right. Good. Okay. Next up, employees of the month. Oh, I'm sorry. I have these sitting right here.
We have two, one for December and one for January. And Jackie is sitting in the front row here. She's in charge of our EMIS reports. You think Cindy's in charge of finances. It's actually Jacqueline. She gets all of our monies through EMIS, making sure all of our students are counted for appropriately. All the kids that are supposed to be here but attend someplace else, they pass through our books. She runs them all down. Yeah.
So your job's about to get exponentially harder here with the new system coming out, right?
Yep.
Yes. And as we change...
Give your award now.
Our student information platform going away from Aries to PowerSchool, Jacqueline will lead that charge for us also as we move forward into that. But it's we have to move away from Aries into something else that allows EMIS dollars to flow, something that's recognized by the state of Ohio and so on. So she does all that. She's done a marvelous job over the last year and a half,
yep.
Ish.
Thank you. Yes.
It's been a learning curve for her, but she's done an incredible job. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John, sitting back here, and back, he's we have to keep him away from us and good for us. John is John Koch. Ellen, you wanted to say something about John?
I did. I'm Ellen Track, Director of Student Services for Marysville Schools. All of these people that presented are mine. I'm so proud of them. John joined our staff officially this year as a special ed aide at Bunsell. He worked for me a few years ago as a teacher of kids with severe behavior, handicaps, emotional disturbances. He has a heart for our kids. We needed an aide this year, one-on-one, for one of our kids with multiple disabilities. It's a very high-stress job. He keeps our students safe as well as all the other kids in the room safe, and everybody continues to learn and grow. But John made a comment today. I was at Buntsville doing IEPs all day, and I told him I'd be here tonight. And he said, it's the team. And that is so true. You know, any of our classrooms, our kids succeed because of the team. Kim Jude, Nick Bowser are the teachers in those two rooms. We have four aides and therapists and incredible group that keeps everybody moving forward and having a very successful year. So I personally wanted to be here to thank John for taking on a very tough job and doing an outstanding job with a smile on his face every day. Thank you.
The queen has spoke.
I'm very fortunate to work for Marysville Schools, and my wife of 26 years feels the same way.
All right, then I move that we accept Jacqueline and John as both the December and January Employees of the Month, and again, thank them for all that they do for our district. Yeah. Give me a second.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Laster.
Yes.
And you do not have to stay. You are dismissed.
That little one. Thank you all.
Oh, thank you.
I'm going to turn it back over to Greg for the Mill Valley presentation. We've seen and we're served. This is kind of nice. We should do this every month. What do you got to do next month?
Yeah. How is it that when Mr. Castor shows up, food? It's food. Always food.
It's always food. It is one of the highlights, I will say that, of the month at Mill Valley when the boys and girls and the staff do this for us. And the staff, as a team, really enjoys and supports the students as they do it. This year we have Jen Burton, Jen Holderman, now Burton, who is a first year at Mill Valley, so this is her initiation. And Katie Brown. We have Pam Whitley as an assistant in the classroom that's also here, and Barb Morse was here earlier. So thank you, and go ahead with the short PowerPoint.
You guys just saw pretty much the best demonstration we could give of the Top Dog hot dog stand. But we're going to tell you a little bit more about the different roles that our students have, because we had some things that we do at the school that we didn't do tonight. So we're going to talk briefly about the different jobs and the different skills that our kids work on through the Top Dog stand. So the first thing that we have to do is the kids had to prepare to have this hot dog stand. It actually started last year. But we wanted to redo everything to make it appropriate for our students that we had this year. So the first thing that was done by a fourth grade student was he made these advertisements that we hung in the hallway, and he also made the menus that you have sitting in front of you there. So these were in every Top Dog hot dog stand that we had running in the school. We also had the sign on the door back there was made by another student that we hung out in the hallway that we get everyone's attention and get them excited to have the hot dog stand. And the kids are really excited about the hot dog stand every time we had it, as you can see tonight. We also had the students practice the different jobs before the customers came in, just to get them ready for that interaction they were going to have with an adult. So we had all the different jobs, and we would have a mock customer come, and they would pretend that they were taking their order. Well, they would take their order and pretend they were getting their food, just work through all of those different jobs. And we also had these sentence strips that the students would use to help them, help cue them on what to say in their position. And some of them independently knew to go on to the next one. Others would have an aide or Katie or myself standing there to prompt them to go on to the next part. That was all the preparation that took place. Now we're going to talk about all the different jobs real quick.
The first job is the greeter, which we didn't do today, but a student stands at the front of the room and greets each customer. Right, and asking them how many in their room, and takes them to a seat in the staff lounge. And then the servers did exactly what you saw today. They have their sentence strips that prompt them what to ask. And then they write how many of each on it. And then I think this is a video.
It's like a still. Oh.
Let me just click. Do you just click right on the picture?
Well, icon's not coming up for the
technology. You can't count on it. You just can't count on it.
If you click at the bottom, it should go to the next slide.
Or not.
How many bags of chips she's gonna buy?
What the big customers?
And as you can see, we had plenty of customers every time they had outstanding. They kept busy taking a lot of different orders, and they learned different skills, like what to do if someone didn't order something. They understood they needed to put a zero. And first couple of times we did it, it was funny because students would react like, "What do you mean you don't want to cook? You have to get it." So they learned how to go by and go on.
To go orders really threw them off too.
Table similar to this, and they actually had a guide of what to put on each tray. And today we just called it for them to smooth things up a little bit. And then they delivered their food to the tables. And with that, we worked on not only taking the money and giving change, but also sorting the coins and the dollars and $5 bills into the correct spots. Of course, there wasn't always customers coming right up, so the students had to work on their patience sitting there until someone was ready to pay. And again, they practiced their communication skills. You saw the sentence strips that we used there, and also the money skills of sorting the money, making change, taking the money. Again, the communication devices that our students have. We have 2 students with communication devices. We programmed sentences into those that so that they could be independent and also have appropriate communication with the adults.
I have to try to get a period. How much does she know?
Wow, you're $20.
After they did it several times, they kind of got used to it. It's pretty much always going to be $1.75, and we're going to have to give them this amount back, but still, that's a good skill to have. And then after they were done, the students cleaned off the trays,
just like the regular restaurant would have to do, cleaning up after the service. That pretty much was all the jobs that the students did, and they all worked through a couple of the different positions there. And we've talked briefly about the different skills that were worked on throughout the hot dog stand, but the big key was the communication skills and getting them to interact appropriately with others. Also following directions. During that downtime, they had to stand and wait for the next order, and that wasn't always easy, but we just continued to work on that and other directions they had to follow. The money skills we talked about, and also appropriate social interactions. In this type of setting, especially because it was new to some of them, how do you interact in a restaurant-type setting? And then also just taking the orders based on what you had heard from an auditory presentation.
And another big thing that we worked on through this is with the alternate assessments for the achievement tests, which Carla just finished packaging. One of the things that it asks, these are for the students that don't take the standardized test. One of the things it wants us to do in our portfolio for the students is to give them real-world experiences. So this we did. We were able to fill many of the requirements for it. The student on the right there is making a graph. So for one of the math standards, they had to be able to ask a question and appropriately put it on a graph. So she asked what type of cookies they would like next at the hot dog stand. Sorting, we did that with the coins. The students following a picture visual. So we were able to do that a lot with the alternate assessment.
When did you start working on that? On the hot dog stand?
Last year was our first year.
No, madam, for this group of kids.
Oh, for this group. A couple months.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, they did a fantastic job.
I really enjoyed it, so that helps.
I'd like to just put something out there. I'd like to invite all of you to come around and see what we do in the district. This is just a little bit of two of the excellent staff members we have. We serve over 900 kids with on IEPs. Our multiple disabilities units do outstanding jobs. That's what John is a part of. I think you would be surprised and amazed at all that we have to offer. That's why we have over 900 kids. So,
no, obviously you guys care a great deal about, you know, our special learners, I guess, for lack of a, you know, a better term that I don't seem to have, but. I mean, really, the care, you know, I've seen it here, but I was fortunate enough to go in for the Thanksgiving dinner in Mrs. Jude's class she invited me into. And it really is amazing to see all the things that those kids, you know, are able to do and really the joy that not only the kids get, but the teachers get out of doing it. So it's really fantastic, the work you guys do. So. All right, you guys have any other questions?
No, great job.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank the kids.
Mr. Mabee is your boss.
Again.
You did it already once.
Yeah. More water, John? John, can I get top that water up for you?
You still warm?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me that?
Oh,
they are still warm.
They're still warm.
All right.
Well, luck.
Well, moving on, since it's Tracy's turn.
Is it?
Yeah. We'll have our legislative report.
There's a lot going on at the State House.
There is.
Anything good?
Yeah. Should we be reading the paper?
Can you keep up with all the articles in the newspapers?
No.
That's a better question. Tomorrow, the Senate Education Committee is going to have the House Bill 30 for the school funding that Representative Gardner. So it's already gone through the House, and now it's in the Senate.
That's the all-day, everyday kindergarten, and then the
school funding to eliminate the spending and reporting requirements.
Right. Okay.
For school. And they also have a couple other items, a community school educator licenses, education month, education scholarships, and then the all-day kindergarten to eliminate the requirement.
Right.
That's all scheduled for tomorrow and Senate Education Committee, 9:30 a.m., if anyone's interested in attending. And I have heard there's going to be a lot of people down there for the other Senate bill.
Testimony's tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. I believe they're having another hearing.
I think it's their fifth and last
one. The hearing's been postponed, but they're having a committee meeting.
Ah.
Oh, for tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just announced that? Didn't they cancel, like, Ohio state celebration thing down there tomorrow?
There's no testimony tomorrow. Just a discussion amongst the committee.
I see. All right.
So, that's all.
Any update on the calamity bill?
No, it went through. It was reported out of committee, and I couldn't find any dates regarding it. I looked before I left work today, and I couldn't find any dates for anything scheduled at this point on it. I did talk to one of the senators on the Education Committee about liking the Senate bill better than the House bill. And he agreed. He likes the Senate bills better than the House bills, too. So,
what's the difference between how you make up days? Based on hours or banking hours?
Yes. In the Senate version, you would be able to, if you attend school more hours than the minimum required by the state, you could use hours prior to the day you missed, up to 3 days.
And then you can stretch your day?
Yes.
30 minutes.
Right, so then it lets you stretch your day after those 3 days instead of having to tack them on the end of the year.
Yes.
Gives you a lot more flexibility.
And he was particularly interested in having it so that the days were not tacked on to the end of the year. He said he hasn't heard from any superintendents in his district who wanted to be able to do days at the end of the year. They all wanted to just add the time on.
Yeah, use the time when you need it.
Right.
Well, plus you have to set graduation. If you set graduation a year in advance, and then have that's
see you in class Monday.
Exactly. I don't think the seniors are real interested.
Pretty sure it'd be a slim picking.
It would. This year would be. Again, I hopefully they change something and give us some flexibility yet the school year. If not, we're going to have to get pretty creative.
I think it's probably maybe once this other Senate bill is kind of out
of
the way.
Yeah. That's what I've been told also. I agree.
Oh, then they'll move on to the budget.
Yeah, but I think this one has
enough.
They'll
have to go. It's an emergency bill anyways.
It is, so they'll get it moving quickly because they all are aware of it needing to pass quickly so the schools can use it.
Especially after that snowstorm last week, right?
That was nice.
Where are you right now?
Seven. Almost got flooded out today.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
I'm good school. Back drunk.
Because I had my pontoon boat out.
Okay, did you have anything else on the legislative update?
I do not.
All right. Well, then thank you for that. Move on to public participation. Anybody in this fine gallery would like to address the board tonight? Anybody at all? All right.
I just with Senate Bill 5 being such the hubbub in the district, MEA is getting plenty of questions and concerns, and I'm just curious what's the board's take, either individually as a group, on thoughts on Senate Bill 5.
Well, I mean, I guess I have a take on part of it, but it's hard to, you know, really lay in concrete because it's not, I don't know what it's going to look like when it's done.
Right.
I mean, I guess I'd give you my own opinion, I suppose. I mean, I think you should have the right to collectively bargain for your wages. But at some point, I think I also agree with some of the other things that are in there, and I'll give you an example. If in the unfortunate event we had to lay off people. In my opinion, it doesn't serve the students of this district to lay off the least senior person instead of the least effective person. It just doesn't, in my opinion. I mean, who does it? That doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't serve the district, and I don't think it serves the students of this district. So I'm okay with that, with those type of things. The rest of it, we'll kind of have to see how it goes out. But binding arbitration, when it's done at CERB, I'm not a big fan of, but I'll tell you what I am a fan of. If you're gonna have resolution, I'd like to have resolution. Someone, like a local like a local judge or local someone in our community that's got a dog in the race, if you will. You know what I mean? I mean, someone who knows, who isn't going to go away, or who is away from what's in this community. I think, you know, if you're going to collectively bargain, you have to have a resolution. Otherwise, collective bargaining really doesn't make any sense. I mean, what are you collective bargaining for if you don't have anything? So I think if you're going to do that, to have a resolution, I think you have to be somebody local, whether it be a, like I said, a judge or a council or a board or something like that. So that's my take. If anybody else would like to share their take,
I think the civil service laws there can be used in deference of the collective bargaining laws. There's a lot of overlap, or those could take place. So I think that should be looked at.
We're not subject to civil service.
But for a lot of what is in Senate Bill 5 with the collective bargaining, a lot of the issues, not necessarily just for school districts, but for other.
Yeah. You're not sure, are
you? I'm not.
You pass, right?
I'm pass.
Yeah. Pass.
I get, you know, that just, for me, it's the spirit behind it in terms of, you know, we do have budget issues right now in the state, and you either fix that by raising taxes locally or at state level, wherever, or you have to make some tough choices. And right now, the local, you know, communities and school districts don't have, you know, they don't feel like, whether they have it or they don't, they certainly don't feel like they have the, they're empowered to make those choices. They feel like the union has more power. I mean, you can just look at when we have budget issues, we rarely talk about salaries, compensation. We talk about cutting things that typically hurt the kids, and levies. And I think that's a reflection of the balance of power. I think Senate Bill 5 tries to even it out.
So you're saying that you think the union has more power than when we negotiate?
Most, yeah. I mean, you look at any district in this state, and they're unsustainable. I'm just saying any district in the state, that you look at the expenses, they continue to climb, even though revenue's flat. And you look at any private sector business, if their revenues are flat, they get those expenses under control. You can't. If we had the power to do that, that's how you would solve a lot of our budget issues.
I have some issues with some of the things that are on the table. Automatically establishing everybody's health care, I believe, is a local decision. To automatically just say it's 20%, I believe it's going to cost us more money because our health care is one of the lowest out there. And we've done that by a cooperative manner, actually. We've slowed our wages down by a cooperative manner. So I think there's some things that can be accomplished. And that those are the things I hate to see kind of go away.
Right.
Because if they're going to take everything away, I hear them speak all the time about wonderful local control, but yet they're going to establish a lot of state pools. And I don't think that's. I think they should establish some ceilings or some averages, and then if you're below that average, how you can get there is yours. If you can't get there, join the pool. If you're above it, I think it's a local decision, and maybe you shouldn't get as much state aid. I think there are ways to control that.
I didn't hear a lobbyist speak exactly to that, having some sort of a threshold, and if you can be under it, great. But if you can't, then...
I think it makes more sense. You know, when I see our insurance group walk into this room and talk about, you know, if you're not going to be healthy, or if you're not going to make healthy choices, then it's going to cost you this much more in premium, or, you know, yada, yada, yada. That's coming from our own group. You know, that's not coming from us. It's coming, you know, these are ideas that are coming forward. Our folks understand the cost. So I hope that there's some common sense that goes along with that, because I believe that there has to be some local choice. Otherwise, it's kind of like the School Facilities Commission, because they build their buildings more expensive than what we built them, and because we were able to make local choices about what those buildings look like, and our square footage cost was less than a building being built by a state commission.
But we could also pick our own contractors.
We could pick our own contractors. We could pick our own
materials. But we weren't paying. We didn't have to pay prevailing wage.
We didn't, and we chose not to.
Well, that's what I mean.
Exactly. So it. Well, they don't have to either.
Oh, for the state?
Well, they don't have to. The other issue is I understand the argument on steps, but until there's an alternate, something, you just can't take steps away. I mean, there's steps in the public or in the private sector also. In some, you know, if you get this certificate and get this training, then it means so much more to your particular job and those kinds of things. They're just talking about eliminating steps. I don't know what that means. And if you just have merit, what happens? You know, you could be the best person in the world, and if the budget isn't there to support the merit, where do you go? What's the alternative to steps? And steps have been there since Shep was a pup, and maybe Shep's grandson was a pup, you know? But I do understand the argument against them. But there's nothing being brought to the table to have a solution to move on. So it worries me about someone entering into the profession and then never being able to progress. They're going to remain flat. And then I worry about, you know, because it will truly be at that point a market-based system where you're going to siphon off folks and you're going to be left, over time, you're going to be left with what's left. And that's concerning to me. That's, you know, and again, I like parts of it. I don't like other parts of it. I don't know all the details,
and I certainly don't, like you, I don't know what the final build
is. Yeah, I don't know.
I like the spirit of it. I mean, I do have faith that if there was more freedom in terms of how to do the salaries rather than constraining it to doing steps, that the market would figure out a way that would, you know, it may not happen right away. Yeah. Maybe that's the risk.
Perhaps.
I got to say, though, I
just don't know what is going to be allowable. If it's just merit.
I think you have to tie merit in there somehow. The worry I have is that it just so happens I was in Florida last weekend, and they're actually going through kind of the same similar kind of thing. Is they're basing. I kind of heard half the news story about it, but it worries me when you say, okay, we're going to base your merit on the value added of your students. Okay, well, now all of a sudden all that pressure comes down onto that group of students that you've got. So now the pressure for on that test day, you know, it's got to be, you know, it's all of a sudden it's focused on those kids on that day. And then, you know, and I'm not saying anybody would cheat or anything like that, but this particular district in Florida, it was running into the same problems. Their teachers are, you know, and I'm not saying we would do that.
But the challenge is to
not do it. When you're saying, well, my pay, my livelihood is based on that kid or on that group of kids on that day taking that test, you know. So how do you base that on a merit system that's fair?
And if it's value added, don't give me any of the top kids.
So I believe
because
in merit.
They're already at the top. Their growth is not there.
So I believe in merit pay a lot. I mean, I believe in it. I don't think longevity is the only basis for your salary, but it has to be a fair and equitable way to set that merit. And unfortunately, from the state so far, the only thing we've heard from them is it's based on merit. Okay. What does that mean? I mean, so I think we're going to need, if they're going to do that, it can't be like, okay, at the end of the year we're on a merit system. It may be, I
can't say enough for the staff and the spirit of which we operate here.
Absolutely.
And I just don't, I don't know, I worry. I worry a lot about that stuff.
Absolutely.
So, I think we've done a tremendous job of balancing. We still have steps, and you know, and there's a cost to that and all that, and I get it. Trust me, we work on that stuff all the time, and you know, what's the combinations, and but I also worry about our folks not keeping pace, also, and kind of where we are. And you've heard me talk about that
before, so. Once right. or twice.
I know.
Well, did that answer your question, Julia?
Yes.
You sure? Okay.
I got a question. How Absolutely. Would you operationalize what an effective teacher is? How are you going to define that?
Exactly.
For example, my wife has 26 years in the district. According to a lot of people, she would be considered well compensated. We would agree, but if it comes down to riffing people, hey, I get more bang for the buck by letting Mrs. Cope go with 26 years, and then I can hire maybe one or two, and the state will have no minimum teacher salary, so we can go back to paying $19,000 a year.
See, but that's the...
Oh, there is a minimum.
Now, if this law goes through, my understanding is that there'll be no minimum teacher salary. That will be out the door.
I'm almost certain I saw a schedule in there of minimum salary.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. It's not.
Well, it's the stuff I see that says the minimum teacher salary will be eliminated.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I saw a schedule in there. I'm sorry.
Does anybody pay the minimum?
No. No.
Yeah. So I mean.
Well, yes.
But
yeah. Right. But
your state aid is based off of that formula.
Right.
It's based off that. So yes, you know, depending on. You know, if for instance, vocational, and some of them are here tonight, but if we get vocational reimbursement, we get minimum salary schedule from the state, and they reimburse us according to that salary schedule. So, and times other rates, but you end up about 30% of that person's salary.
Basically. As far as compensating teachers fairly, you know, that's one of those, I mean, things that...
Whatever that is.
The market, I mean, if a teacher doesn't think they're being fairly paid here, they'll go somewhere
they'll
else.
Go someplace
and if somebody
else.
Wants the better teachers, they'll pay more.
Well, I was giving that some thought a little earlier. You know, if you're a good teacher, you know, districts are going to pay for what they want. You know what I mean? I mean, and so it's truly going to be a market-driven... At some point, it won't
be
to start
point,
with.
It's getting there.
It would take a while to get there, but I think... But back to your point, I mean, I would hope that the board, given that we should be focused on student achievement as our first priority, would look at the two teachers. Let's say we had a way to evaluate those and say, you know what, we want to keep our most effective teachers. That's the bang for the buck for this district, and I don't think moving away from salary schedules or anything like that is necessarily going to be cheaper. I mean, I just don't. I mean, it may or may not be. It all depends on what the community wants out of their schools. But if you can go to your community and say, look, these are our most effective teachers. This is how we rate them. These are the people that we want to teach your kids, and this is what you're going to get. What do you want? I mean, I think that's a more compelling argument to put in front of your folks. I just do. So, all right. Is there any more questions on Senate Bill 5? No more questions back there, Juliet?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
I'll call you. All right, I'll email you.
All right. Well, you can call me. All right, next up, our minutes from our January 24th regular meeting. I know you all read them and reviewed them and red pen them if there were red pen marks to be made. If there's no changes, I need a motion to approve those.
I move, because I did read them.
I know you did.
So I wasn't here, so I thought I better read. You weren't either.
Second.
Moved in second. Roll call, please.
I read that in the minute. You weren't here.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, Treasurer's Report. Hey, everybody's safe. And before we get started, I just want to make a comment. Cindy was ran our finance committee meeting last week, where we were kind of gathering members for our subcommittees and stuff like that. And I just want to point out what an excellent job she did on that. And I was really moved by the number of volunteers that we actually have from our community that came in and
probably there, what, 50 of them?
There was, but
I'm surprised they all showed up, or at least a good number of them.
There were some of them that came early and got their paperwork and left. But I mean there's some good people on that committee. So I want to thank you for doing that and doing an excellent job of that.
Thank you.
I agree.
Just on the basic financial information I sent out to everybody and on the agenda, there's not a whole lot. Our SM2 has come back into line. The last year, there wasn't anything in the estimates, so I've just been taking stabs in the dark to look at each month, so hopefully next year it's a little closer to where it's at. But as we start talking, and since Tracy didn't say anything about the state budget, and people have been asking me what I think's going to happen,
crystal balls on the fritz.
I sent you out some information. I called it voodoo magic rumors because I really, right now, the man that I was under as the treasurer, he used to say it's my crystal ball when I first got into this business. He goes, if I had a crystal ball, I'd know what to tell everybody when you're looking at your numbers and what you need to do for your expenditures and your revenue and what's going to come from the state. And back then, we had more coming in from the state because they didn't take the lottery money out of our state aid, and it was there as such. And so there's been some rumors going around and numbers flying that could be very detrimental to this district. And in that, they're talking an 8% decrease. 8% would give us a negative $1.2 million next year if it's a straight 8% off of our state foundation. Will that happen? Who knows? We know that they've got an $8 billion budget deficit they need to fill. We don't know what they're going to do. The second rumor is that, they aren't going to take it the whole 8%. They're just going to take your portion of that, or the state portion that you get. So for us, that's 31%. That's another, ends us up in a negative $432,000 next year. That's not good either. And then the third part of that is that same set of rumors sitting out there is that it's going to be our portion of the state aid. So it would be 69%. So you're looking at a negative $871,000. None of it looks good coming down from the state. Now, Larry and I have been working on a group within the county on TPP, and we met today on what's that going to do. The next part of that rumor is they've been giving $200 and some million every year since they put in the CAT tax to replace the money that's been coming to all the districts and the local governments for the replacement. They aren't going to move that money anymore. So there's another $200 million that I don't know where they're going to get. So that means our replacement money isn't going to come in. They've also been saying, well, they may take those. Remember that we're on a replacement cycle. They changed our replacement cycle with this budget bill to hold us harmless for the next 2 years. They may take it back to the original Senate Bill 66. That's another $2 to $3 million a year over the next 2 years that we may lose if they do that.
Starting next year. Fiscal
July 1st.
So FY12.
FY12. Because if it was in the budget bill, they don't have to keep it there. They can change it again, just like they did in this budget bill. None of the rumors coming out of Columbus and none of the voodoo magic that I have no control over, we have no control over, nobody in this district has any control over, could see this coming. Because we knew that there was going to be maybe some that we could probably squeak out of it. But if we're talking $2 to $3 million, we can't squeak out of it, unfortunately. And I hate to be always the bearer of the bad news, but I guess that's part of the job.
You're the money person.
That's the money job. So
But those are rumors right now, right?
Those are rumors. That's why I keep saying rumors. And
the problem is we're talking about July 1st.
Yeah, exactly.
That, you know, and tomorrow's March 1st, and the state budget won't be presented until March 15th, probably.
Yeah.
It probably, and again, it will be June probably before it's finalized. I would say.
June 30th.
It's just hard to say. You know, and we have some deadlines, you know, for contracts and those kinds of things that are going to be coming up at the end of March and the end of April that have an awful lot to do with, you know, what we can afford to do as we move forward. So we're looking at all options and looking at, you know, quite a bit of things and options as we move on here. We've been working on scenarios. We've been working very hard on the tangible. We had a meeting today. We invited Howard Fleeter out. Those of you who don't know Howard Fleeter, he's an amazing guy with the Economist and can work the numbers and does a lot of presentations in Columbus with the legislature and you know, as far as what it costs and here's how the funding formula works, and if you tinker here, this is how it's going to move forward, this is the cost of it. And Howard's just been outstanding to come in and work with us. He's been here twice now, worked with us all morning today, all of Union County, all the entities, because we're all in this together. For all of the entities, you know, it's close to 30 mils, is what the impact of tangible is.
If it went away,
and we have to replace it locally, it's about 30 mils. For us, it's a little over 13 mils of just replacement, as money that once was here to be taxable.
So you're talking 30 countywide, right?
Countywide.
That's what I'm saying. That 30 number is countywide.
All the entities.
EMS and all.
But if you just take, for instance, Allen Township alone is 26 mils of loss, of replacement. You know, they're probably the most impacted township in the state of Ohio.
That's all the entities that hit Allen Township.
Correct.
The 26 mils. It'd be 13 mils for the school district. It would be another 10 mils for the township. It's another.
Okay, I still can't do mil math. So
one mil is 646,000.
How much is the tangible personal that we would lose? I just want to make sure I'm looking at the right line item on here. I don't even want to multiply. The 1.7 that's on here, 1.7 million a year, that it shows up as the TPP tax, or does that get shown up in some sort of?
Are you TPP? Looking at the forecast?
You're looking at the forecast.
Yeah.
So our forecast, it says TPP line 1.02.
Yeah.
That is only utilities.
Okay. So that is the actual TPP that we still get, the ones that we lost.
Yeah.
And then the
part that's the replacement is down there with the homestead and rollback. It's like line 1.05 or something like that. It'd be underneath the unrestricted or under the last one, the one that's below the restricted grants and aids.
Okay. So the property tax allocation.
Yeah, it's within that.
It's inside there.
It's okay. Within that.
So how much is that we would lose?
We get about $9 million a year.
All right.
In replacement.
That's the hold harmless money.
What we worked on today is as we've worked with the folks in Columbus, is they want us to come back with a proposal to them. We find it kind of interesting that the legislature wants us to give them a fix, and that's hard to do because it's clear to me what a fix would be for the school funding because I know school funding. But I don't know how the counties get funded, and I don't know how the health department gets funded, or Allen Township Fire Department, or whatever. I think I've got a better understanding of that now, working with all the entities. But they get dollars back through, you know, the local government fund and those kinds of things that come directly to them. But what we've decided to do is just kind of draw a line in the sand and say anybody that's been impacted by X amount, there needs to be some reimbursement coming back to those communities at this level. And if you've been impacted by this, it could be X plus, then you know you should get more coming back, at least for a period of time. And it can go away out of here someplace after the economy picks back up and all, you know, some of those kinds of things. But right now in this community, it would be devastating. And especially if they go backwards 2 years and really make us pay back what they didn't take away from us during this biennium. It would be a lot of money for us, well over $2 million. Because we're going to see anyway, even if it drops off at regular basis, it's about $1.3 million a year of just lost dollars that once were collected that are gone. Mm-hmm. So
we literally
we're going to go back with a proposal again, and Howard's helping us do that. He and Rich Driscoll.
Rich Levin.
And Driscoll's used to be a partner with them and helping out.
They're all in there. I think he's.
Are we still a part of that coalition?
We are. We are.
Are they doing anything?
Yeah. But we're going to, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's a consortia of school districts, about 20 school districts statewide. I'm more interested in Union County. I think we have a story to tell like no other county. And we're all together. I mean, we've worked with the county commissioners, the health department, Department of Disabilities. I mean, we're all sitting here side by side, City of Marysville, so on. We've worked our numbers. We know Fairbanks. Our budgets. Yeah, Fairbanks is now in Allen Township, Paris Township, and we've been meeting regularly, and we have a good partnership. It really harms Union County and Marysville community. Specifically, and I'm not going to go out of this without a fight. I mean, I'm just not.
So we could find ourselves July 1st with a $2 million hole.
Just on that one.
That we didn't have.
Backwards.
Right, that we didn't have in June.
Without question.
That makes it a little hard to plan.
Yeah.
Every 2 years you have this. I mean, it's hard to understand, especially with times like these. The thing about TPP and what's so different about Marysville and Union County is that it affects the whole county. When you get into places like Solon and Princeton school districts, that they're affected, you know, when we're working together with the schools, their counties don't have they have a large base, but not the large percentage like we do as much. So they've got, you know, they're huge counties compared to how that affects this county. And that it's the manufacturing firms in this county and all that we've helped bring that to the county. So I think it makes a big difference in how we deal with this. And so if we can be the poster child for the state, let's do it and get something done positive for a change.
And one of the other points that we've brought up and continue to bring up on the tangible side is the amount of infrastructure that this community paid for up front to bring industry in and continues to pay for through tax abatements, you know, the water, sewage, so on. That's infrastructure that was built for that purpose and tax relief and so on. If you then take away the tax, the ability to tax that, I mean, really, as a community, you're paying twice because you gave relief up front and you're getting no relief on this end once you have that moved in here. It's something that, you know, constantly bring up. It's not something they like to hear very much, but it's a huge concern for us, and I think we have to battle on behalf of the community.
Who do you lobby on that, Larry? I mean,
we've met with the head of the State Finance Committee. We other senators, legislators, our own. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met with someone the other day from, kind of sort of the governor's group.
Right.
That's a group we don't know real well and what they're accepting in, to be very honest. But even what the governor proposes, it's still going to be voted on by 99 representatives and 33 senators who have to answer to their people. That's where you have to go, we believe. And that's where we're lobbying with those groups.
I mean, historically, if you go back and you look at that and you say, okay, we made the commitment to infrastructure, and the reward was that you pay taxes upon, that tangible property, and that goes away. Is there anybody talking about going back and charging them for the infrastructure?
I don't know how you do that, John. I think it's a great question. But how do you undo tax relief?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the same. It's the old bait and switch that they did on the tangible property for all the entities.
Yes, but some of the decisions were made because tangible was here. Tangible right. property was here as a tax. And when that went away, it definitely changed it. It went away, and they said the economy would pick up and take care of it, and it would be a wash over time.
But that model has never been proven.
It definitely didn't happen this time because the economy went tanked.
But I mean, even in theory, the model didn't work.
Right.
That I saw.
Well, in theory, it never worked because the CAT tax never collected as much as the tangible was collected.
Right.
The tangible collected $1.7 billion statewide, locally. It was a local tax, stay local. And the CAT tax, I think, is collecting $800 million or something like that. So half. And that CAT tax is a state tax. Right. So it's dispersed as a pool.
Yeah. How they
it's
want.
Not a local.
Yeah, at this point in time, and I mean, it's better to be a poor, rural district.
At this point, that's
better be at the funding floor.
Yeah, correct. It helps.
It just is.
Well, we're working, and we'll continue to work. We will have a proposal by the end of this week. I'll let you know what that is that we're going to take forward.
Well, I guess I got another question then. So we know for a fact we're going to be in the hole at the end of next year, right? I mean, unless someone sees something on the sheet, voodoo or not.
Unless somebody wins the lottery and gives us a big donation, I would say yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to assume that's probably not going to happen.
How much your name, Roy? You got to check.
This goes back to the type of control. I mean, if you look at just even personnel services, retirement insurance benefits, just from, and if I'm getting this right, that the difference between, we're going to increase the total of the 1.5 million, am I reading that right? Between?
It's 48,500,000 to next year, our expenditures are 49,455 is what we've got estimated right now.
So
you're looking at $1 million.
Yeah, we're looking.
Increase.
There's money there. And if we had.
Actually,
the ability to negotiate and talk about. I mean, we don't look at those areas, and those are the big pieces.
Actually, we are looking at those areas.
I'm not talking about cutting, staff. I'm just talking about across-the-board type cuts. I mean, we talked about this.
Well, that was going to be my segue. You jumped into my segue.
All right.
You need to get 20%.
Actually, what I wanted to do was set up a work session before our next meeting, and which is kind of where I was going there. You guys have ideas of what you're thinking.
Yeah.
We know we're going to be in a hole. So, can we sit down and throw the forecast on the board and
I would love to
start
do it. I got numbers, but I'm reluctant to share them because I think we need to talk about them as a board.
Can we do it after the 15th?
Well, yeah, the 23rd is. Oh, yeah, the 21st is our next meeting. That's why I want to do it after our. Because at that point, I thought, well, at least we'll have some general idea of what.
Oh, I thought you wanted to do it before the next meeting.
Like 6 o'clock.
Oh. I thought you meant like.
No, I'm sorry. I meant 6 o'clock.
You're opposed to meeting more than one meeting date.
Well, I was trying to cram it, because I know it's tough to get everybody here for one day, and so. I mean, is that something we can do? I mean,
we just want to put it up and do what if scenarios?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I mean, they're working on stuff. You know, whether it be, you know, I read in the paper today we're looking at our schedule stuff today. A nice quote in there from you from the Dispatch. Anyways, there's a bunch of different stuff that's you know, for cost savings, for everything else. Let's just look at them and see where we're at. You know, if we have to go, you know, if there's enough there that there's not enough money to cover, well, we're going to have to do something. Okay, we can't make more widgets, so we would have to go on the ballot. We have a limited amount of time for this year to get on the ballot if this board decides to do so. So we need to start having those conversations now and not, you know, in June or July when everything's settled. We may have to wait then to have a number, but we can start at least having those conversations and seeing what our plan of attack is. So 6 o'clock, all right, for everybody on the 21st?
So this is 21st before our board.
Because we moved the board meeting to the 21st.
Yeah.
And so 6 o'clock, I'm sure I'm free.
So you think an hour is going to be enough?
That's not as well.
I think we should have it a different day.
I was thinking, back to what I talked to all the time, is even changing the setting, if it's someplace we're going to have a whiteboard. I mean,
it doesn't matter. I just figured it would make it easy. But if you guys want to do another day of the week, I'm okay with doing that too. I would like to do it after the 15th.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's when the budget comes out.
Yes, more information.
Yes. So our next meeting is on the 20th.
When is spring break for?
28th.
28th.
The week of the 28th.
I got 3 kids on spring break and they run 14th, 21st, and 28th.
So you pick.
Yeah,
so. Well, I'll be gone the week of the 28th, so that's why Roy and I will both be gone that day. So we can do it like the 22nd?
No. 21st. It's best.
That's the same day as the board. The
same day as the board meeting.
Yeah. You want to do it before the 21st?
No.
No, I meant...
A different day. Another meeting. Yeah.
Well,
to our regular board meeting.
Start at 6 o'clock that day. We'll get through the meeting. If you need to go afterwards, you can go.
I'm okay with that, too.
Do afterwards. Or
we can schedule another one after that.
Yeah, you're going to know more at that time what you didn't get through. And then we can schedule.
And quite frankly, you probably have more questions coming out of that after that first go around.
Probably.
Okay. So you want to do it 6 o'clock on the 21st, and then.
You could just start your meeting the 6 o'clock, and
do the work session afterwards.
No, we do that too.
It'd just be one meeting, and just.
Let's do that. Let's just start at 6, and then we'll do our work session afterwards. Is everybody all right with that?
It makes sense.
I'd take that over doing it ahead of time, but I prefer to do it on a separate day. But that's fine. We do it after.
We can do it. We can have one. Well, I said we can have another one between March and April.
Yeah, that works. We'll do it after.
Because really, we're tight on the 15th anyway. Yeah. I mean, it's only the 22nd or the 21st.
Here's what I think you're going to hear on the 15th. I think you're going to hear worst-case scenario. I think you're going to hear a lot of bad news, and what it ends up being will be something. I don't know. But I that's what I believe the budget will be coming out of the governor's office. But that's just my belief.
Yeah.
Whether that happens or not. But it's going to give you a start.
Right. Well, now, we're going to be in the hole either next year or certainly the year after that.
Oh, yeah.
Pencil a second day in just so we can. I mean, we could always cancel if we don't think we need it.
You can pencil. I have no idea. Well, you can throw a day out there. I have no idea if I'm free that day.
We were just scheduling that time frame. How do you not know if you're free?
I know. I know I'm free on the 21st. I'm not free on the week of the 20th.
Okay.
I think I'm free every other night on that week of the 20th.
So when's the salary committee thing go? Is that all wrapped into this?
Yeah, thing if they want to jump in there, that's fine.
Okay. I mean,
Makes sense.
I just keep pushing for what my vision of a work session is really working, not just going through a presentation, throwing some thoughts up on a board, and, you know, a couple ideas, and then moving on. I mean, a real work session. Roll your sleeves up.
Well, I mean, that's as opposed to
the last work session, which was more of a presentation.
Well, I don't want a presentation. I want some ideas.
Right.
I mean, I know they're going to have ideas. And when you're going to have ideas, and I'm going to have ideas,
right.
And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to do it than to put it in the forecast and say, what happens if
no
we do
idea
this?
Is a bad idea, right?
That's what they say.
All right, cool. That works.
Okay. Are we okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I would like to schedule a second day, but that's fine. That's great.
Okay.
We'll work.
Well, we're going to have more than one.
Okay.
I'm certain.
No, we can do that.
Okay.
From a board protocol perspective, do
yes,
we
sir.
Have to have a quorum, and do we have to have that to have a work session?
No.
Not for a work session, I don't think.
There's no such thing as an actual work session.
That's what we got in
special meeting.
It's a special meeting.
We have three.
Three or more, it's a special meeting.
It's just that we only intend on working on something particular.
Yeah.
As opposed to taking action.
Right,
yeah.
Correct.
And your special meeting is, you
and
say
so
what your special meeting is going to be.
Right.
So
we could have two people there.
You could.
Three people there.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. But if we want to have our meeting start at 6 and do our work session afterwards.
No, as opposed to a second date. If we
speak well,
oh,
I see.
Well,
a second
date. If he wants a second date, if he wants to work on a Sunday, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Go
yeah.
by myself. Yeah. Is that what you're working?
Knock yourself out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If we just set up a work session and we're going to talk about this, this is the only thing we can talk about while we're there, and that's it.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. See, look at that. I checked something off my list of stuff. Okay. Something off my list. All right. Was there any other questions about?
What was the date on that?
I had to stick that in.
March 21st at 6 p.m.
You won't be that one.
No, sir. No, sir. Thank you.
I've got a lot of travel.
All right. Was there any other questions on the items on the treasurer's?
Yes,
items?
I have one question.
All right.
And that would be on merging the drama club and the high school musical. Why do they still have their numbers all separate on here? They still have them in separate columns. If they're merging, I'm confused.
They were trying just to show what the difference was. They were going to put them together, I think.
So which numbers are the merge numbers?
There's
numbers?
No merge numbers. That's drama
only.
This is musical only.
He wants to put them all into one account, and then he's going to try to keep them separate within his account. I don't know exactly what's going on. That's Mike's just, we're taking baby steps, okay? So this is the best step that we
So they're still going to have two accounts?
No, they're going to have one account.
Okay, so they're going to have one account, but he's keeping it separate here.
Yeah. No, that's intent, my understanding. And for Cindy's district standpoint, the central account, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
I know. I just was curious why. Mm. If they were merging, they were still separate.
I don't know why he showed them that way.
It's modified merge.
Yeah. It's modified accrual, it's modified merge.
Modified merge. Okay, were there any other questions? Are you okay with that answer?
I just was curious.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to ask Mike before I could answer it really.
Okay. Then if there's no further questions, I move that we accept items A through D on submitted by the treasurer.
Second.
Move the second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Franker.
Yes.
Mr. Fortinger.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Check that one off my list.
All right. Ready?
Yes, yes, sir, please.
Accept student on a tuition basis. My recommendation is to approve an enrollment on a tuition basis. We don't get a lot of these, but because we do not have open enrollment, the only way a student from outside the district can attend is through tuition.
No, what's the tuition rate?
I don't know. It's about $500 a month, something like that.
Couldn't tell you right off.
It's
close. Set by the state.
It's close to that.
No, I just
don't
curious.
Know what it is.
What was the purpose? What is this? This is an exception, right?
Or we don't have open enrollment, so if you want to come here and you live outside the district, you have to pay tuition to be here.
Right, I understand. I just didn't understand. It's our policy not to do that, right? Or is it not?
Our policy is, depending on the purpose the student wants to attend, the parent wants the student to attend here, we have room capacity
for
that person to do. Matter of fact, this may be somebody who had been here before. They moved out of the district and they wanted to attend.
I think that's what the issue is.
So it happens, it's just on a case-by-case basis.
I'll let you bit. One of the things, you know, if we want to talk about income generation, we may want to entertain someday to look at open enrollment. Again, you know, we've stabilized. We didn't do it when we were up here. It is, if you control your capacities, it may make some sense to do.
What does that look like number-wise?
You get state aid from those kids. You get there.
You get full state aid.
You get full state aid for those kids, not a percentage. You know, if a kid moves here, we get 30-some percent from the state. If you move in here, they bring their state aid with them, which is 5,400.
Yeah, something like that. That's where they're at.
And what would that do, I guess?
Well, if you brought in 100 kids and didn't, let's say that they were in the right spots.
Right.
You know, you get $500,000.
Wow. And we'd be able to control the right spots without having...
It would just open up the right spots.
Got it.
Your board policy dictates that.
So we can do
it. They could go some places, they couldn't go other places. The issue that I have is in doing that and looking at the numbers. Cindy and I have talked about this for the last couple of years. And Dee and I talked about it a little bit, but we were growing at that time. It didn't make a lot of sense to do. We're full at Creekview and middle school. You know, we're pretty much, well, we're at capacity. We're almost 26 kids a classroom there. So, I mean, you could have open enrollment in some of your elementaries. You could definitely have open enrollment in high school and make it work.
How many new kids would it take to open up the other middle school?
Well, you're probably not enough to make that work.
That's what I'm saying. I
mean. Yeah. Now, if you've got 20 new kids, you could probably... You know, it would make some sense maybe to hire a staff person at that point in that section. But it may be something at this point we may want to entertain. Because that does generate some funding. And if you put some controls on it, it may make some sense to do.
Do we get a lot of requests for that?
We get a lot of requests for that.
Okay.
We do. But again, the other side of that, and again, you really would have to control it because our capacities are, we're at capacity in something, especially in special ed, we're at capacity in a lot of those programs. So there would be a lot of that where we'd get a lot of requests for those services, and we would just have to watch that very carefully. So, but I'm just throwing that out there, it may be somewhere, maybe one of the only ways to generate additional dollars, and we do it by adding some very, opening up some slots.
Now, once that's open, can you, if you chose to, could you shut it back off?
Yeah.
Or do you have to grandfather those out, or do you tell everybody that says?
It's a year-to-year basis.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And again, with the dollars being what the dollars is, we may want to look at it, and we'll get you some information.
On
what some possibilities may be.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
See, that was kind of idea we were going to throw at that work session. Exactly what I was talking about. All right, so then I move that we accept the student on a tuition basis.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Brunberg.
Yes.
Lassiter.
Yes. Okay, motion carries.
Item 9, staff resignations. It's my recommendation that you accept those 4 staff resignations that are there before you.
No questions? I need a motion to accept those, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 10, employment of district staff. I recommend that the following individuals be approved on 1-year limited contracts, and there are 5 there.
So there are the 4 that replace the ones that we just accepted, and then a custodian from last month?
Correct. One is actually, C is a new position because of the growth of the latchkey or the SOC program. We went over capacity.
and the state makes you add a person.
Your ratios.
All about ratios.
All about ratios.
Mm. Okay. No questions. I need a motion to accept that, please.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Rady.
Yes.
Mr. Breaker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
Item 11 is contract amendments. Recommend that this amendment be approved. It's actually just someone going from a SAC from a team lead to a team to a program assistant.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please. We're busy down here.
Mr. Rady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 12 is amend classification. After a lot of work and study, and it's my recommendation that we amend the nurse and the social worker classifications from non-exempt to exempt. That basically means that they're not hourly. They don't have to keep track of and punch the clock, so to speak, and so on, fill out timesheets and so forth.
What's the point of changing that?
Well, it's that. You know, it's a record-keeping item. It's logging of overtime and so on and so on, so forth. It actually came from them. They really have wanted this for a while. So
they'd be on salary as opposed to...
They're on salary. They would be on salary.
But don't we have some of our social workers that are on an as-needed basis?
We don't, no.
No, none of them anymore are?
No.
Candy Sweeney was for a while, correct?
And she's a psychologist.
Oh, okay, psychologist, gotcha. My apologies.
Candy originally was on as needed when she was part-time through Harold Lewis. But
right.
Candy hasn't been that for...
She's just the first name that came to mind.
For 5 years, probably. Wow. She's full-time.
Okay. All right, well, there's no other questions.
Does that change salaries or anything?
Nope.
I mean, wages,
no.
Nothing?
Yeah, no.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Supplemental contracts outlined below are specific recommendations related to certificated and non-certificated individuals for supplemental. Most of these are, there's one high school, these are spring activities either at the middle school or the high school.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14, substitutes and home instructors. Listed below are substitutes and home instructors recommended for employment for the 10-11 school year on an as-needed basis.
So moved.
And I guess there's two student workers there, so yeah.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 15 is a student teacher. We have one student teacher that will conduct a field experience student through Ohio Northern. And again, we recognize those folks because they're going to be with our kids, and we want them on our liability insurance, and also making sure that they're recognized.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 16, our district of volunteers. The following are a list of volunteers for the 10-11 school year, and again, these volunteers are non-paid, and they will be covered under our liability insurance as they work with our kids.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freaker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 17, Good Apple Banquet, Ward Banquet, as we did last year. We'd like to have that in April at the high school. And we'd actually just like to go ahead and announce that meeting will start at 6 with that recognition award session at the April meeting.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Bloomberg.
Yes.
Mr. Rady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Franker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 18, student overnight trips. You have the middle school 8th grade trip to Washington, D.C. next school year. That will be in October at no cost to the district. That's all paid for outside. The mock trial, there is one team that will be competing in Columbus. They move forward and compete in a state tournament. The robotics club, this is a new club that we have at the high school. They're actually in a competition in Cleveland. They're actually going to go up with Ben Logan. We're sending our teams up together.
Cool.
There. And then the high school marching band going to Orlando next school year, also in April, to be at Disney World.
Now, the first item says at no cost to the district, but the next three do not.
Yeah, there's no cost. Those are the only thing we have. Robotics, we may have a little bit of travel cost there, but other than that, that's it.
No cost.
The driver's here.
Well.
Sort of.
I think we're going to go commercial.
Are you? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we've got the money in the account.
Okay, it's probably Cindy's math over here. Gotcha.
Yeah. a grant from NASA for $7,000 and a grant from JCPenney for about the same.
Wow.
Cool.
What are you going to do while you're up there?
Good question.
I mean, like, what's your project, or do you know?
Well, we have a robot that's going to compete, hopefully. we had to ship it without... You know, it's kind of like sending the space shuttle up without some of the tiles on yet. But we shipped it to Cleveland already on the 22nd. And it basically picks up balloons and puts them on a wall. Timed event. And then several different events. So it's remotely controlled by computer.
Wow.
So it's...
Very cool.
Can't even get my garage door to work. Yeah.
Wait till you see it. It does. It is pretty impressive when it's working.
So is John.
Yeah, we're all waiting.
You don't
on
see that,
that
here. Well, good luck to you while you're going to go up there. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr.
Reagan.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Mr. Franker.
Yes.
Mr. Frankenberg.
Your turn.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay.
This thing about board participation at the Spectrum Magic Parade. Maybe I should go there.
Well-oiled machine right here.
Fundraisers 19. I request that the following fundraisers be approved. There are three of them.
So moved.
Second.
Move to second. Roll call, please.
Come on, machine. You're slow down.
Mr. Maybe.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 20, donations to the district. I'd like to recommend that the following donations be accepted.
So moved.
Second.
Move to second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is superintendent goals.
Well, you've received kind of a reformatted view of the three major goals. The one that you had some time with and the one that's been out there working for several months now, the Achievement Action Plan. My goal is to give you
I'll actually send out to you tomorrow the items that are completed or close to being complete right now, which are a significant number of them. I'm also creating a portfolio of, I guess, evidence. It would be a way to put it wherever the item is, such as where we developed a critical path timeline for the academic data review. I'll give you the actual evidence and the model that's been created and we've been working against.
For 1A?
Yeah, like for 1A. It will just match up with that. Okay. Because that is completed. We're not through because we haven't tested yet. The data hasn't come back yet. But we have the plan in place of who's doing what, when we're going to come back, all in June. We're going to have to, all the administrators are coming back in June to finish their, all the data review and making sure that it goes into EMIS correctly. There aren't any errors and those kinds of things. But there's a lot of, after last year and being so close, you know, to hitting the overall goal of the excellence, and almost we were at 99 something or other, 99.8 I think 83 or something like that on the performance index. If we'd been 100, we'd have been at the excellent rating all by itself. So we know how close we are. We decided that what we needed to really do is hone down that whole critical path and make sure we were hitting all the areas. And again, it's the same is true of several of these. We've gone through a lot of our EMIS analysis. It's one of the reasons why we're changing from Aries to Power School is because of EMIS. Aries, we're the only school in Ohio that uses our student management system, Aries. Aries is, you would find it a lot in California. It's because it's used in the state of California as their student management system or one of their student management systems. We're the only one. So we have to write a lot of our own script and those kinds of things to make our data convert to EMIS. So we have to jump some extra hoops and to do that. So what we've decided to do is stop doing that, and the state of Ohio is telling us that we don't, by 2013 we'd have to stop anyway. So we're changing over, just going ahead and doing it now. While there are 35 other schools in the TRECA consortium that are converting to Power School, so we decided to be part of that move. TRECA is paying for Power School for the next 2 years, so we won't have any per student cost for Power School, but we will have some implementation cost of getting it in. But the dollar amount that for Power School itself, which is some schools are, I think Westerville and Olentangy are spending about $4 a kid. That's all waived for the next 2 years.
Nice.
So we decided to take advantage of that and move it on. It's a lot of it has to do with EMIS and making sure that our student data is accurate. And then on the fifth grade results, we've done a lot of traveling. We've done a lot of visitations. We're still in the midst of some phone interviews and information studies. What we can do differently at age or that fifth grade level.
I got a question about that. And since
I not have fifth grade?
Yeah. Can we do that? Can we go from fourth to sixth? Actually, as I was looking at your action steps, 2J on there really kind of caught my eye considerably. And since I looked at the initial review was going to be done in November for that step, and that's a study all transition points K-12. Okay.
Yeah, sort of.
With the emphasis on the 4 to 5 grade transition, and I was Carla was nice enough to answer my question somewhat thoroughly when I asked her before, because it seems like we talked about this when we laid this plan out, was you have these fourth graders that are excellent you know, have all these great test scores, and then they get to fifth grade, and it's like they've lost their mind. So the question is there a, you know, is there a lack of collaboration? I'm going to say a lack of it, but is there an issue with collaboration in there, or is it a curriculum? You know, is a curriculum? You know, because I know we set up our curriculum for that. So are they doing the stuff in fourth grade? Are they not doing it in the fifth grade, or are they doing it in the fifth grade? They're not doing it in fourth. Is there something? I mean, I'm sure. I know Carla was.
Well, it's a combination of a lot of things. Number one, the fifth grade test statewide is your lowest test statewide. It tests other things not tested before.
Right.
So there's no really way to predict. If the state has set up so that the third and fourth grade test can predict what's going to happen in fifth grade, then there's no way that it does. It just doesn't.
Now, are you saying science tests or all the tests?
Science tests, a brand new one.
Right, but what about like the reading test?
It's not the third and fourth grade tests don't predict what happens.
Okay.
So there's no. It's not built that way. To do that, it would need to be built on some kind of standard, and there's no standard. They were built individually. Mm-hmm. They're being rebuilt now, so that it gives you some kind of stretch in there. We could have probably taken a look at where our kids were falling in third and fourth grade, and now that's what we're doing. To kind of give us a lead on what could potentially happen at grade five. We've made some adjustments at grade five, curriculum-wise, also, because of that. There's a lot more conversation going on. There's a lot more conversation going on between the fourth and fifth grade.
Right.
Because of that, we've asked the fourth grade and third grade to kind of pick some of the stuff up, because fifth grade can't do it all.
And I wasn't trying to put it on the back of the fifth grade.
Yeah, we can't, because it just doesn't fall that way. I mean, that's the way, you know, if you just looked at it, that's what it looks like. It's happening. It looks just like fifth grade's just not doing what they need to do, and that's just not the case at all. So there's a combination of an awful lot of things going on, because the fifth grade test is not a good measure. There's not enough. It just doesn't do what you need it to do.
All right.
So
she's going to study that, and then when she's done with that, can we see that?
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know.
You'll see our recommendations.
Right. Well, I mean, that's an action step, so I assume that something's going to come off of that particular action step.
We've had folks come in here from the state. We've had some other folks looking at it. Testing Works, which is a piece of software which we purchased, is going to help us along those lines, because it's going to give us a lot more feedback data back to the teacher level. It's easier than what we have now.
Now, when you have data going from K to 4, does all of that go to the fifth grade?
Yes.
So they continue a record. I mean, so they take whatever. Yeah, whatever
no good, but right now, there's not. We don't have a good piece of software that allows that to happen.
So it's manual.
Yeah, a lot of it's manual.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. So they continue. So whatever they're done in fourth grade, they put it in their little book bags and take it to fifth grade.
No,
and then
we have some of it's software driven, but not. It's we had to build it ourselves, and it's not as good as what it needs to be.
Yeah. I know how that goes. Software wise, yeah. I write software, and sometimes it's not.
So we've purchased Testing Works, which is a piece of software that will allow us to track student data. And allow teachers access to that. I mean, we don't have it out there running yet, but we're testing it right now.
Is that going to roll out like next year?
That will roll out next year. Well, I mean, we're starting to roll it out now, but we're continuing to work with it here.
So you're going to have to go back and like backload everybody's data into there?
Yeah.
That's a good summer job for some.
And a lot of it should just convert over, though it's on tables.
I've heard that before.
So, but if you have any, you know, again, I don't, you know, if you have any questions about any of this stuff as I'm rolling out here, please ask. And the two that I gave you last week.
Actually, I had one more question about this one. Okay. Well, actually, it's about all three of them. Is there a way that, I mean, because these are great for a conversation with your community and for stuff like that. So how do we get these somewhere where, you know, if someone wants to say, you know, what, you know, we know what your goals are for this year, you know, what's our plans, what are we doing? Is there a way we can put that somewhere where
it's
I can...
It's going to go up on our website. That's what you're asking.
Yeah. I mean, I just... Well, I mean, I didn't want to lead you there. I just wanted to ask you about that.
I mean, we've already decided that that's where they're going to go. Okay. So, I mean, that's... we had to get them done first.
No.
And I had to get them approved by John because we changed. You know, Rick Fenton moved to the State Department, so John Thomas is now kind of guiding that along. He had to review them, got them back to me last Friday.
And I know this is the $10 million question. How much of an effect on this year's testing is this plan going to have?
Oh, I hope a lot.
Okay, I mean...
I mean, we understand how close we are and how many kids that is to move. And the staff is really working hard. You know, the waiver days, the training days in this room, the science committee has met multiple times about improving the science score and moving that along. There's a lot going on right now. So our goal is to get above 100 on the performance index, which would put us at the standard,
right.
And then hopefully that will push us forward on the value added. Although they've changed the value added score again, whatever that is, that's a mystery number at best. But we'll see. We'll see where we go. On value added, understand that because of where our kids score, you know, as you get closer to the 100 performance index, it's harder to get stretch. You know, as I said earlier, if I'm measured as a teacher on value added, I don't want any of the top kids because it's harder to stretch them. No, their tests aren't designed to move them. To move them beyond grade level and those kinds of things. Because they're grade level exams.
As they hit that ceiling.
They ceiling out. You know, and if you're responsible to move them 10% and they're already at 100, how do you move them if their best score can be 100? Basically, they met. That's all they did. They met expectation. Okay. There's no value added to 100. So that's the problem that you have. So,
okay. I mean, I just want to make sure. You know, this board, we sit here a lot and we talk. It seems we talk a lot about money and some of the other issues, and I think academic achievement needs to be the focus of what we concentrate on. And so if we can spend more time talking a little bit more time talking about that kind of stuff, that to me is important. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's so as we follow along here, I think
I hope by next week you will get my plan is to get you the evidence for each of these boxes. Of what we've accomplished so far, what's ongoing, those kinds of things, and then we can discuss that.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I'm feeling my way through this model a little bit too, but I think it makes an awful lot of sense. I think it's a good model. There's a lot of, I changed the format a little bit. I think this format works well for me. I'd like some feedback from you guys on how it presented to you, but.
I like the boxes. It was a little hard to go back and find the item in the box. But that's just me. That's just because I'm not very...
It wasn't a check mark.
Exactly.
I could have done that.
I know.
I know. You could have put your shopping list in there.
See, there you go. If you'd have my shopping list.
You could just mark it off.
Go check something.
But I think it's a... You know, it gives me... I mean, a lot of this stuff we're doing anyway, but it gives me an opportunity to build, to go back to this, what our timeline is, to constantly draw attention to that, and then build evidence that this is what we've accomplished. So it's a good model, I think, evaluation model.
I agree. And then there was a question on the communications plan about the focus groups that you had.
The focus groups are twofold, actually. The focus groups came out of the communication plan as a way to do more discussion with parents and community, because I don't feel always we do that enough. So one of the goals was to do a focus group. Well, we decided that instead of just meeting about, you know, achievement and those kinds of things, why don't we talk about, you know, what it, you know, with the state budget, you know, and if we are challenged with these cuts or reductions or shortages or whatever, what are their thoughts? Okay. And to do that, what we've done is kind of given them a summary of kind of where we are, what we've done. I think we've accomplished a great deal. I think we've we have slowed down our costs, and we just have. We had to. When Tangible went away in 2005, I mean, it's been a challenge. The last 6 years have been amazingly challenging to try to keep ahead. But when I want to look at our staff, you know, the last 5 years, on average, our staff is 0.8%, less than 1% on average per year, mm-hmm, on salary. Our average teacher is making less today than what they did a couple of years ago. Those kinds of things. Our health insurances are less than most folks. So I think, and the fact that our square footage costs, our utility costs, are less.
That's huge.
And we have every building now, with the exception of Mill Valley, all the plaques are now in on, you know, the energy savings. We're going to be STAR energy rated, which is huge for us. And again, as I explained before, if I just take our million square feet out there and move 10 cents back into that, you know, it's $100,000 that we just lost to energy that we didn't want to spend. So we're constantly working at those. So that's what we do with the parents, and then say, all right, the challenge is this. This is what we do. This is what you have. What do you think?
So what kind of feedback? Did you get some good feedback?
We got some great feedback. Now, we did Creekview as a model. Mm-hmm. Of kind of what, and then we tweaked it because we get some great feedback from parents about would they like some information about, you know, the items that were placed above there, what are the costs of each of those items, because some of the items that they said that they could do without were minimal cost, and some that they didn't want to live without were that big cost, so we'll see.
Kind of now, is there
how many folks were there?
Between 15 and 18. We want to keep the groups small, and then we're going to roll them out and do more. Okay. Each building.
Are they going to plan to have any of those during the evening too?
Yes, yes. Yeah, we got a couple of one tomorrow night at Bunsell. That's evening.
Is there a mechanism? So if I go to a focus group, and since it takes me a little time to absorb that, I go back and I say, you know what, I want to give you my fee. I don't want to have to email you directly. I mean, is there what's set up to?
We had a forced choice at the end where rank did some ranking and so on. So in that, where they put stars beside a blue star beside something they couldn't live without, a red star without, oh, you know, something that may. They kind of sort of, and one that they would give up in a heartbeat.
So do you plan on putting a dollar amount to those? I mean, so that they have idea when
that was one of the feedback that we received. Again, I think it makes some sense.
Any surprises to you? Anything that was like, oh my gosh?
Sorry, go ahead. Wasn't to me. You're fine.
Write that down, sir. He said I was
fine. No, the thing, I guess if there was one, it would be the, and this was a Creekview, was the before and after school help.
Right.
They appreciate us monitoring drop-off and pickup. Because that's one of the things we look at closely. They really like that a lot.
The safety of...
And they like coming into the offices and having folks in the offices to greet. And people...
The personal touch.
Yes, they like that very much. Now again, those are two areas a lot of school districts have forgotten, gone. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of school districts have gone to dismissal, kind of like the high school version of dismissal.
Right, yeah.
Good luck.
throw you out, close the door.
Well, yeah, and again, that's the way it once was here, and we've gone away from that because of, you know, we've had some kids that didn't get home because we couldn't track them, we didn't see them get in cars and those kinds of things. So we've really handled it a lot. They like that.
I like it a lot.
A lot.
Okay. Is there a schedule for when?
I don't have the only one I know. I mean, we have some. We're lining them all up. I'll let you know as these roll up. But I'm told tomorrow night 6:30.
Okay. Is it? I mean, are we able to attend one of these? Because the only comment that I throw out is that I didn't really know anything about it. So the first time I heard about it was from somebody who was concerned by it because the content of these tend to resemble the kinds of presentations we do when there's a levy coming. So.
It's always going to be a complaint.
It was just a what's going on type question, and I didn't even know these things were happening.
We decided, on the focus groups, you know, again, there are conversations. So we made it specifically around what happens if, you know, we're going to be challenged with that. As Cindy said, I mean, there's absolutely not going to be a question. Now's the time to have those conversations, not
sure.
Later.
My only point was that it would have just been nice to know those things were happening.
They're happening.
Okay. Is there a focus group moderator, or do you guys moderate?
Building principals.
Okay.
I won't even be at all. I can't be at all of them. I want the building principal. We've gone across it. They know the folks. They know the drill.
The second half of that action item, or at least part of it, was community surveys. Mm-hmm. Are you planning on when would you be planning on doing
that? Well, I've met with...
are we going to use that same guy we used last time?
I did. I've met with him. I'd like to.
Okay.
And get a community, again, a very similar instrument to what we did before, 3 years ago.
Right.
It's a good time to follow up, I believe.
Was the board involved in helping put that survey together in the past?
Yeah, we reviewed the
questions. I wasn't on the board then.
No, we reviewed the questions. I'm almost certain of it.
Okay, and cool.
I have that if you want it. The full, I can just send it out to you.
Is it on that website?
I remember the survey. I remember the results. I just remember feedback on this. And so I was wondering how that came up with that.
You can help. It's a lot of fun to make those phone calls.
Maybe it was just up at one
time. Oh, you're who?
Again, yeah, but we're going to do... A larger one, a couple smaller surveys too.
Okay.
How much do those cost?
It's about $3,500.
Yeah, and it's feedback. You got it. You absolutely positively have to have.
The last one was more than that, but
I was pretty comprehensive.
But because we're not going to mess with it too much, Don. So the cost would not be as much. I mean, I'm not sure you can do it much cheaper than that, actually.
Yeah, I don't think so. So hopefully the phone lines at the high school will hold up this year. Yeah. We loaded them up last time.
Yeah, we need about 20 to 40 folks making phone calls. So that works pretty well.
All right, anybody else have any questions on the goal documents? Everybody's okay with them? Any questions?
I'll be honest, I couldn't find it in my list, so I don't know. Hey, you sent it out, I assume, but
didn't
find
the goals document.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so.
We're winging it now.
We are.
We're listening really close to what you're describing.
Well, you got copies.
Yeah, it was in an email attachment.
Yeah.
Which one?
I could have very easily missed it. That's why I didn't say anything.
All three of us missed it.
But when I heard they missed it.
The Board of Education agenda had 11 attachments.
No, it wasn't in that.
This was last week?
Last week.
You know, that's how we got these two seats.
It could have rolled off my email and I just
yeah.
It's all in the same one.
I believe you sent it to me. We didn't get
it. Probably to the other email address.
So I didn't want to say, yeah, it looks great.
Well, you and I get covered separately.
I'm sure.
All right. Well, then, any last comments?
You guys are in the same group. I just send it to a group.
Yeah.
I get it on three different.
You're not part of the group.
Well, it could be.
That's always a sign of something.
That's okay with me. I'm all right with that.
Any last comments, questions? John,
I'll send you an email.
Yeah, all right, Roy.
Did you get my email?
Yeah, got it.
Casey? Oh, I do have one more thing.
Yes,
calendars. What's up with that? We got those three calendars.
I'll have to.
They just sent it out for us to review.
I have to present them out to the staff.
Yeah.
You'll have that next month.
Got it.
All right.
It's just for us to look at.
They're a little bit of difference. We'll take a look at them.
They are.
Okay. Do you have any last questions?
No, I don't.
I don't. Anybody else want to address the board before we go? If not, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes. We are adjourned.